Welcome all of you. It's good to have our visitors with us. I see some new faces here and some Brother Jonathan. It's good to have you and your family with us. Man, we just want you to enter right in and give God the glory and pray that you receive a blessing this morning. Amen. Let's sing the song, Power of Your Love, together. Amen. Lord, I come to you. Let my heart be changed. My mind, God. Hallelujah. Let's sing another song. As I travel through the pilgrim land, amen. Jesus, hold my hand. As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me. He leads me safely through the sinking sand. He is the Christ of Calvary. Oh, this would be my prayer to go each day to help me do the best I can. For I need thy light to guide me day and night, blessed Jesus, hold my hand. Oh, Jesus, hold my hand. I need every eye. While through this pilgrim land, oh, protect me by thy saving power.
Thank you.
then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toast that we pay. Oh, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing and glory. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Last verse. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty will behold. Soon the worthy gates will open, we shall spread. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't you just love that? Amen. I love giving God glory. Amen. I know He's pleased with your worship. Amen. We're going to change the order of our service at this time, and we're going to bring some of these special needs before the Lord. I'm going to let you have your seats for just a minute. Give your legs a rest. Amen. Don't mean to keep you standing too long. Man, musicians can play something softly there. We have some church members we want to keep in prayer here, dealing with some sickness that's been going around. Amen. I want to remember Brother Richard Smith in prayer. He's dealing with bronchitis. Amen. We want to remember Sister Connie Hughes in prayer. She's dealing with some spinal issues. And I know she would covet your prayers, so let's keep her in our prayers. Amen. I want to remember Sister Carol Henley. She's not with us, and we miss her when she's away, so we'd like for you to remember her in prayer as well. Amen. I have a request here for John Anthony to keep him in your prayers. We definitely want to remember Brother Larry Pruitt. Brother Barry has some announcements to make on that regard, so let's keep him in our prayers. Amen. I want to remember the McGarry family. Brother Aaron is ministering in France at this time, and I think he will be traveling home on Tuesday. So let's pray for them. God will grant them traveling mercies. Any others that are away from our assembly, amen. Sister Jackie, I know, is dealing with bronchitis. How is she feeling, sister? She's doing much better. Let's keep her in prayer. Man, I know the devil tries to attack us in our bodies and our minds, just on every front. Amen. We need to trust Jesus, friends. Amen. I know that He can bring us through those things. He's got the power. Amen. Let's stand. I'd like to ask Brother Bill Walters if he would take these needs before the Lord. Do you have unspoken prayer requests? Uplifted hands. Amen. God knows your needs, friend. Just hold those on your heart as we pray now.
Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Our kind and heavenly Father, we bring these requests before You, Lord, at this time, Lord. You know the hearts of the people, Lord. You know our desires. And it's only to be in Thy perfect will, Lord. And so we commit these requests to You. We ask You, Lord, to bless this service, Lord. Come upon us. Fill the minister, Lord, with Your words, Lord. Speak it to our hearts. And we just praise You, Lord, for all Your goodness, Lord, and all Your mercy and Your grace. And we just praise You and love You in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Bill. Amen. You can have your seats again. We have a special with us, Brother John Cochran and his family will be singing. As they're getting ready and making their way forward, let's sing that song together, I Give My Mind.
I give my mind completely to You. Make it all. I just want to be like you. So
appreciate that beautiful special. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Let's stand at this time. If our deacons would come forward. We'll take up our morning offering. Amen. I believe hearts and minds are ready for the word, which is the most important thing. Amen. I want to give ample time for the minister. Amen. Brother Mike Pritchard, would you lead us in prayer, sir? Amen. Let's sing together, There's None Like You. As Brother Barry comes, he'll want to introduce the minister. There is none like you. Oh, no one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord. Find there is none like you. Oh, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Oh, I can search for all eternity. Like you again now. Oh, there is none like you, my Jesus. Oh, no one else can touch my heart like you do. And I can search for all eternity, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my God, holding closely to with love and strength for each new day. God will make a way. Oh, God will make a way. And God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Not seen, He will make a way for me. He will be my God, holding closely to His side. Oh, with love and strength for each new day, God will make. Sing it again now with all our hearts. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. And He will be my with love and strength for each new day.
Go away, yes, He will make a way. One more time, sounds so good. God will make a way where there's seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide. Hold me closely to His side. And with love and grace for each new day, He will make a way. Yes, God will make a way. Praise the Lord. That sounds real good. That just sounds real good. And I believe that if we can enjoy it that much, imagine how He must think today, because He delights in the praises of His people. We are honored to have all of you here today, and nice to have the Walters here with us today, and good to have each and every one of you that are with us today. Good to have the Pascals here, and good to have the Lowe's here from Arizona. God bless you. And Sister Cheryl, God bless you. Good to have you here today. And it is always a blessing and an honor to be able to be with God's people and assemble together. That's just special. That's just flat out special. We want to bring a couple of prayer requests before the Lord this morning that were not mentioned this morning. And one of them is for Brother Larry. And as I put in the update, Brother Larry was hospitalized for a pulmonary embolism that he had because of he was taken off the blood thinners because he was doing a procedure on his throat and developed a blood clot in his lung, and then he was put back in the hospital and put back on the blood thinners again. That's not unusual for that to happen to somebody who's on chemotherapy. And he told the doctor, he said, I don't want to be in the hospital. I want to go to church. He said, I want to go to church Sunday. And so they finally released him yesterday, and he's not with us this morning, but we want to continue to remember him in prayer. And he did not have the procedure on his throat. He's got to show up at a different hospital, and they're going to do that, so they did not do the procedure on Wednesday. Also as well, Sister Becky's great aunt, whose name is Maxine Dotson. She has a very serious intestinal infection, and if you don't mind, we'd ask you just to remember her in prayer. And she is going through a difficult time, but we believe that God is able, and we believe that God is still a healer today, the same as He ever was. And so it's a good thing for us to take our needs before the Lord. So let's sing that little chorus, Hear Our Prayer. And let's just bring this before Him. And I don't want to limit the things we bring to Him. I think it's a good thing for all of us to take our prayer requests to Him, especially the private and personal ones that are on our hearts, things that are a real concern to us. Brother Vasaki, we're glad to have you and your wife here today. And I wonder, would you come and offer a word of prayer this morning for us after we sing this?
Hear my prayer, O Lord, from the ends of the earth I cry. Your peace will lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Oh, hear my prayer.
Precious name. And Lord, as we hear of these special requests, our sister there with the intestinal situation, Lord, we just heard a testimony at church the other night where a brother had 80% of his colon was just dead. The doctor sewed him back up and said, we can't do anything for him. 2 years later, he sat in the cafeteria with Brother Darrell Ward. Brother Darrell was telling us about this. So God, you can do anything. We know this, Father. We just ask you, Lord, to touch our sister in a special way and our brother that was released from the hospital. Oh, Lord, maybe he's even listening in on this service today. We just thank you and pray you'll continue to heal him. Bless this congregation here. Bless Brother Barry and all his efforts. In Jesus' name we thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. We're going to invite Brother Aaron. I'm sorry, we're going to invite Brother Nathan to come this morning. We're Brother Aaron McGarry just texted me, and so we're glad to have Brother Nathan with us today. And he spoke last night to our young people, and we were just excited about the service last night. It was just wonderful. Had a good time of fellowship all last night with our young people and those that were visiting. It's great to have Brother Brian, Sister Lucille here today, and friends from way back, and Brother Brian. And Brother Brian is the son of Brother Ray Erickson, who supports the missionaries that go out of in Tanzania. So we're just appreciate Brother Ray, known him a very long time, and Brother Nathan obviously is the grandson of Brother Ray. And it's great to see generations that are growing and serving the Lord, and we appreciate him coming this morning. They're going to be taking off and going back to Ohio today, so I asked Brother Nathan to take the morning service, and I'll take the evening service this evening here. So let's sing the little chorus, Have Your Way, and then we'll turn it right to Brother Aaron here this morning. I'm Brother Nathan, and I'm sorry. You know what I mean, right? You always are supposed to know what I mean and what I'm thinking. Don't Have Your Way.
Have your way, Lord, have your way. Holy
Spirit, he's a good guy. Amen. I'm flattered, man.
Have your way.
Amen. Sing it unto him. Is that your desire this morning?
Amen.
Amen. We want him to have his way. I want to say God bless you, saints. It's really nice to be with you. And it's a privilege and honor just to have the invitation. And sure appreciated the youth service last night. Thank you, musicians. I want to say I've been enjoying the music and the worship here. Really wonderful how God has gifted your congregation. I didn't catch Brother Mitchell last night, but wherever you are, Brother Mitchell, you did a wonderful job with the song leading, and understand he's just started out with that. You can tell he's a natural. I think a lot of him. And I was really impressed with the young people last night. Their character and conduct and welcome spirit that we had, and really impressed by them, Brother Barry, the youth in the church here. Not surprised, just impressed. And I was thinking about Brother Barry on the way down here, just the years and years that we enjoyed going to the Winter Youth Retreat and benefiting from the ministry there. And it has really been one of the strongest influences spiritually in my life, that Winter Youth Retreat, the ministry there, the fellowship there. And I was just thinking about it because my wife and I are involved quite a bit with the youth ministry back home in Ohio. And so we have a small taste, Brother Barry, of the criticisms, the challenges, the drama, and the things that go along with that. And so it gives me a new appreciation, and we wanted to say thank you. I was just thinking about all the memories. I remember we had a little session one time just with the brothers to talk about things that brothers go through, and the things that we talked about have stuck with me all these years and had an impact in my life. One time, Brother Barry had organized a little meeting with some of the young brothers that were feeling a call in their lives to the ministry, and it really guided me early on dealing with the call in my life. And so things that I'll never forget. Amen. Barry, did you know I'll never forget? But it was wonderful. So we appreciate Brother Barry. So I'm sorry for goofing around there. Let's go to the Word this morning in Matthew chapter 7. And I just have something really simple on my heart. I hope that's okay. A little simple message. But something that's been speaking to me lately. So I want to take a very, very familiar reading of Scripture in Matthew, the 7th chapter. And just after that, we'll read also in Romans chapter 2. But the first five verses here in Matthew chapter 7. And the approach I want to take on this is maybe a little unusual or come from a little slightly different angle than you typically would with this scripture, but really spoke to me recently. So the Word says here, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged, and with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye, thou hypocrite? First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Amen. Romans chapter 2, and just the first four verses there. "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" May God bless the reading of his word this morning. Don't get nervous now. Amen. But I want to come from a slightly different angle on this scripture here, and we'll ask the Lord to have his way. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to come before a living word. And we ask, Lord, as we have come to gather this morning, Lord, that it would not be a thing of ritual. It would not be an exercise of tradition. But Father, may you meet with us. May you move amongst us by your Spirit, Father. And just open your word to us as individuals, Lord. And speak to our individual lives and help us, Lord. And we want to do everything that we can to surrender unto you, Father. And anything that would hinder, we ask you to take it out of the way. God bless this service, Lord, and help us and lead us, anoint us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Amen. And so I know this scripture is very common to you. It's common to the world, probably one of the most quoted, most well-known scriptures. "Judge not that you be not judged." And it's just a foundational principle, you know, to Christianity, something that we're taught from young children. And so I was feeling directed by this scripture. It was really something that was impressed in my heart recently in a personal way. And not just to, you know, not to take a scripture and try to come with fire and brimstone and, you know, and something real convicting and heavy hitting and trying to, you know, to use it in that way. But I want to look behind this scripture, behind this instruction. And there's a principle that's laying there in "Judge not that you be not judged" that to me is so critical, is so crucial for the Christian life. And that point that I want to pull out of this scripture is that any person whose focus or their emphasis is on any other human being or any other human association or anybody, any other person besides yourself, then you're in error. Any person whose focus is on another human being besides themselves is in error by this scripture. But the right approach to God is not in comparison to anybody else. It's not in association to anybody else. You cannot approach God as a group or by belonging to a church or by association with a movement or a doctrine or a prophet or a pastor or any of those things. But you're to approach God as an individual. The Bible says, "Let not any man think of himself more highly than he ought to think." But we're to be sober. We're to approach God, amen, with humility, with self-searching, and not looking at anybody else. Or anybody else's problems or anybody else's issues or, you know, what that church is teaching or what's going on over here or what that brother's saying or what that sister's done. But any of those things are all distractions from the right approach to God. If you're to approach God like we were dealing with the young people last night, you've got to know where you stand with God. You've got to know who you are and who you are with God. And so you cannot approach God as a group. Amen. And that's what the message, that's very important in the Bible, in the message, in the Word of God. The Bible says we've all sinned, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, so we have no excuse before God other than to approach Him, amen, with the humility of our own problems and our own issues. But you know, this scripture, judge not that you be not judged. I would call it the sinner's favorite scripture. Isn't that true? It's the sinner's favorite scripture, and it's so misused. It's so this point that I'm trying to bring out is so covered over by misuse of this principle, because we use it to mean we would translate it to our modern way of thinking that judge not that you be not judged means can't nobody tell me nothing. Amen. Isn't that right? You can't tell me different. You know, you're not supposed to judge me. You're not supposed to correct me. You're not supposed to tell me any different. It's only God can judge me. And you know, you've seen that attitude in the world. And it's so common today that it's so commonly quoted, but it's totally misused. Judge not that you be not judged. And so this scripture is not to be, it's not a shield to hide behind. It's not, we shouldn't use it as a shield. We shouldn't use it as a defense. But we ought to use this principle as a sacrificial dagger and plunge it in the heart of our own lives and say, God, correct me. Amen. Help me. Lord, I'm not looking at anybody else or anybody else's problems or what anybody else is saying about me. Amen. But I want you, Lord, and here's my title this morning, to start with me. Start with me. Amen. Judge not that you be not, but look, don't look at anybody else, but we're to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. We ought to be concerned with our own standing with God and not what anybody else thinks or says about it or feels about it. But you know, there's so many Christians that are trying to, and bear with me, I'm just laying a foundation here, but so many Christians are trying to hide behind a feeling of judgment from somebody else. And I'm just going to be real for a few moments this morning. This is something we deal with human beings, with people, with young people, old people, with churches, with associations, is we get these frictions in our interaction with one another. And you know, so somebody will get a little complex about, well, that brother is so judgmental, you know, and yeah, I'm dealing with this, I'm struggling with that, but the way he looks at me, and you begin to use that as a way to deflect, amen, from God really trying to deal with you. The pastor bring a word of correction, an elder bring a word of correction, but because you can latch on to something wrong with the delivery or something just grates against you, and it becomes, we begin to use that as something to point at to distract from our own issue. Amen. Amen. And so we realize, people, that we're all struggling with things. We all have issues in our life and things that we're facing and obstacles, but some of them are more visible than others. Just to be real about it, some people go through things and it's just on the outward. A sister struggle real hard with makeup or fashion or a brother with an attitude problem or a temper or these things that are external to our eye. There's a lot of things that are covered over. Amen. But these things that are external, they cause the, 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 they, they come with these issues where because we know the Word, we know what's true, and so, you know, you can't help but look a little different as something that we know clearly by the Word is wrong, even though we're all struggling with something. But what the problem is Satan works on that to get somebody with a problem that needs help. Amen. And they're too busy feeling the judgment or feeling that little bit of friction from somebody else. And the devil will sure enough come in and use that to deflect from God trying to help you because you've got somebody else to point to. Amen. And so, you know, and we can use people's reaction as an excuse not to get a deliverance, not to get help from God. But when you do that, brother, sister, you're only hurting yourself. You're not hurting anybody else. You're only damaging your own standing with God. And so you can fall into rebellion on that and just make your own life a mess for no reason. For no reason. It's not people that judge you, friends. It's the Word of God that judges you. We're message believers, and we have the problem that we see too much. We got these eagle eyes, and you can take this message in the wrong spirit, and you can apply it to somebody's life and put them under scrutiny. There's none of us here, myself included, that would want to come under full scrutiny of the message of the hour and somebody to go down all the pages of your life, amen, and cast judgment on you. There's none of us, amen, that don't need help from God. But because we see so much, then we get these critical spirits come in. We get these rebellious spirits. Amen. We get looking at one another. And what I'm trying to preach to you this morning, brother, sister, don't get caught up in all of that. Amen. Don't look at anybody else, what anybody else thinks, what anybody else is saying. Amen. But oh my, look to Jesus. Look to the Word and say, God, start right here. Amen. Amen. If there's a problem, if there's friction, if there's an issue, then start in my life, not anybody else, Lord, but my heart before you this morning, this Sunday morning, is God, help me. Start right here. Amen. And help me with what I'm going through. Amen. And most message people, I believe, really have a spirit that if you're struggling, they just want you to get help. Amen. They just want you to get better. So we don't need to put on this. We don't need to get defensive with one another. Amen. It's because it's a lie. It's a lie of the devil. It's a poor excuse not to seek your peace with God because of the pressure somebody else is putting on you. Amen. So we don't want to waste our time in a shooting match with one another, but if we do that, we'll be deceived. Amen. We'll be deceived. It's a distraction. I say, Lord, start with me. So we're never to use this scripture as a shield, but kind of along the lines we were preaching last night, the right approach to God is as an individual. As an individual, you and God alone on the backside of a spiritual desert, amen, back in a prayer closet somewhere when nobody else is around, that's where you approach God. That's how you get something from God, amen, is when you are able to forget everybody else and get beyond the group, get beyond the association. Brother Branham said that God always works with an individual. He doesn't save you because you're Methodist. He doesn't save you because you're Baptist. He doesn't save you because you're Pentecostal. He don't save you because you're message either. Amen. He saves you because He has dealt personally with you. Amen. And you're saved on that basis that you have accepted it. So therefore, for God to deal with you, He said He doesn't deal with you in the order of His church. He does not deal with you in the order of the church. Amen. I think we can never say it enough. God doesn't deal with you in the order of the church because you belong to the right church and you sing the right songs and you pay your tithes and you got good church attendance and you do your daily devotion is not how that's not why God deals with you. It's not the avenue that He comes to you through your association with a movement or with a doctrine or with a certain belief, amen, or a certain church, but He deals with you as an individual, amen. And the only way to get something with God, amen, is to approach Him as an individual. Amen. We don't believe that you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost by osmosis. You show up to a good church and hear good preaching, good teaching. Amen. And just sort of absorb the Holy Ghost. You've got to meet God face to face on the grounds that Moses met Him at the pillar of fire. The grounds where Gideon met Him at the pillar of fire. That's where your potential is unlocked. That's where intellectual faith becomes anointed faith. Amen. That's what Brother Branham said. Now, so God doesn't accept you on the basis of an association. But that's the kind of religion most people want. That's the kind of religion that most people want is that kind of a group joining religion. Sunday go a meeting, you know, convention attending, amen, a group religion where can't nobody tell me any different, let everybody else mind their own business. I got my own thing going on. I just want to show up, and I don't want anybody to point me out. I don't want the pastor to bring a word of correction. I don't want him to, you know, bring in somebody that's going to step in my toes or spit all over the place. I see you've heard I was a spitting preacher. Amen. I'm just as religious as everybody else. Amen. I dress like the rest of them, act like the rest of them. I go to church like the rest of them. Amen. Amen. But brother, that's wrong. That's deception. Brother Branham said, preaching on the Antichrist spirit, that the Antichrist spirit it's not a drunk. It's not somebody out sacrificing goats. Amen. But he said it's a church member hanging to their church instead of walking in the light. He said it's somebody who says, well, I'm just as good as the next guy, and I go to church, and I'm religious, so everything's okay. And Brother Branham said it's the greatest deception is for the devil to make somebody think they're a Christian and they're not. Think they've got something with God because they're associated with the right group. Amen. Let us not be deceived, brother, sister. Amen. There's such a deception in this day. We know that there's a pale horse rider, an Antichrist spirit that has come into the church in the last day, a final plague of spiritual death. But I'm here to tell you this morning, he's not riding against the Pentecostals. They're dead. Amen. That spirit, that horse is not riding against the Catholic Church. He's already killed them. But the target of the Antichrist spirit is the bride of Jesus Christ. And the devil would like nothing better than to put you in a pew of a message church and put you on the banks of the river of living water and have you die of spiritual thirst because you've never met God as an individual. Amen. And that's how we get people that have been around the message 50 years and they're just as cold and starchy and hateful as they ever were and never had a personal change in their life because they've never met God. They've met a doctrine. They've met a teaching. They've joined an association. But they don't know God. They don't know Christ. Oh, my brother, sister, let it be so far from us. Amen. Let us not succumb to that deception. Amen. But we've got to walk with Him and have our eyes opened. Amen. To see where we stand with God. Well, you know, what we have today is a reverse Nicolaitanism because we have congregations, we have people that they don't want a personal walk with God, but they want the preacher to do it for them. They want to look to a hero. They want to look to somebody that they want to set up a mediator. Amen. That somebody that will stand between them and God and do all the works and do all the heroics and they'll just show up. They'll just show up. Brother Bram said, well, you say, let's let the preacher do it. Let the preacher do it. But he said, this is an individual affair. Amen. And it's with every one of us. The preacher might do it himself. He might pray. He might get his soul blessed. I sure tried this morning. But unless that congregation has stayed in the same way. Gotcha. Unless the congregation has stayed in the same way. See, Brother Man said it makes a difference. But if the congregation is ready to meet the Holy Spirit. Are you ready this morning? Then I'll tell you, sinners will weep their way to Calvary if we can just take it as an individual. You're just as responsible as any of these ministers. God's going to hold you as an individual responsible. It's a powerful quote. But we've got too much laziness in the church. Laodiceans spirits trying to come into the church and work their way in. Amen. And the bigger and more prosperous a church gets, I see your church is growing, our church is growing, wherever the message is being preached with liberty. Amen. There's a growth. There's a prosperity. Amen. But you find a church starts to get to a certain critical mass. And then you got small church problems and big church problems. The thing I love about a small church saints if there's a real problem in the church, there's nowhere to hide. You've got to work it out because there's nowhere to go. Amen. But you know, let a church get to a certain size. And I'm telling you this from experience. And then a little brother and sister will have a little falling out. And one will go to that corner. One will go to this corner. And then they'll start working on their little faction. And you get all these little frictions and politics going on. But brother, sister, it wouldn't happen if we would come to God on the grounds of an individual. Amen. And stop looking at everybody else around us. And our problems with everybody else. Amen. Amen. But people want a pastor or a they want somebody to stand between them and God and use that as a substitute for a personal experience. But there is no substitute. And it was not so from the beginning. In the beginning, there were no pastors, priests, prophets. There were no mediators. Amen. But it was God and His children in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Walking and talking lip to ear as an individual walk with God. And we have received a message. Amen. That has restored to us an Eden condition. Amen. Where you don't need somebody to stand between you and God, but you can come into that inner place and have a personal fellowship with Him. Amen. And back there was death to enter into that place, but now it's death to stay out. You must know Him as an individual. You must be shut in with God. Amen. You must be born again. You must have a personal, individual walk with God. Hallelujah. The order of the day is an Eden restoration with a lip-to-ear fellowship with God. This is the hour of the manifestation of sons. Amen. Amen. It's the hour that this is adoption time, bride time. Amen. We are in an hour where the sons and daughters of God ought to be manifested on an individual level. Adoption's not coming to a church, it's coming to sons. Not coming to members, but it's coming to daughters. Amen. Amen. And that's why we're not to be full of judgment, because it's son time. Amen. Daughter time. The Bible says, love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Amen. Bless them that curse you. Amen. And pray for them which use you. And be ye therefore merciful, as your Father is merciful. So mercy, grace and love, those aren't nice things. They're not just nice qualities. They're sonship qualities. They're sonship attributes. Amen. Oh my. There's some powerful thoughts behind that. Be you therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. So if He's merciful, we're to be merciful. Mercy is an attribute of sonship. Amen. You look at what our example was like, Christ was like. Amen. Brother Bram said that He didn't live for Himself, He lived for others. All right? Amen. So if we're coming to adoption time, we ought to have this same attribute. Amen. To the attribute of sons is, Brother Brown said, when you live your life to yourself, you haven't got eternal life. That's pretty black and white there. When you live your life for yourself, amen, then you haven't got eternal life, but eternal life is living for others. Somebody said, Brother Branham, how can you stand and let anybody call you such bad names? You don't live for yourself. You live for others, that you might redeem that man. That's powerful. That you might redeem that man. You become sons, and the trouble of it is the church has forgot they were sons. Amen. But you're a son, so you're taking Christ's place. This got deep on us all of a sudden. Amen. You're a son, so don't live for yourself. Live for others. Live for that man who hates you. Live for that man, that person who would kill you if they could. That's what they did to Him. They killed Him and He died that He might save him. That's eternal life. I'm telling you, brother, sister, there is a power in this message. Amen. The power of a manifested son or daughter of God. Amen. With a love and with a mercy on display. That if you could ever overcome the distractions of other people and what they think about you and the way that they treat you. Amen. Then you could have a power in your life that is such. Amen. That you could become the very redemptive power to set that person free. Amen. I'm talking about adoption now. I'm talking about the power of a son, the power of redemption, that you've got a power in you, that if you lay down your own pride, amen, and you're willing to sacrifice that hurt feelings and that bitterness because of the way somebody treats you, you have the power in you to redeem that person as a son or a daughter of God. But brother, sister, we can't even get cut off in traffic and manifest mercy. Amen. Come on now. Amen. You know it's the truth. Amen. But what I'm preaching this morning, amen, is something far deeper than some watered down, what would Jesus do? Amen. Sunday school religion. But I'm talking about adoption. I'm talking about sons and daughters of God with a power of redemption. Amen. How many believe the bride has a ministry today? Amen. The prophet's off the scene, but there's a ministry in the bride. But her ministry is not a ministry of judgment. Amen. When a prophet comes, amen, to the world, he has a ministry of judgment, indictment. Amen. But to the elect ones, to the chosen ones, it's a ministry of mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. And Jesus' ministry was a ministry of mercy. But we've had a prophet. Amen. To the world, he preached an indictment, but not to you and I. We're not under an indictment. We're not under a Laodicean rebuke. We are under, amen, a shalom message. It's peace. It's mercy. It's grace. Then we ought to be full of mercy. We ought to be full of grace. We ought to have an attribute. I believe there's a voice in this bride crying out to this world. But the message that's in this bride is, whosoever will, let him come. Who, if you're thirsty, come. If if you're hungry for the Lord, come, amen, because the presence of God is in the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. That we ought to extend it to this world. I believe there will be recipients of that ministry. Amen. Brother Branham spoke of a class of people. They're not bride. They're not, they don't have eternal life, but they're allowed to enter in because of their treatment of the bride. Amen. That's why I take it very seriously when a prophet would say that your attitude towards someone could determine their eternal destination. Brother, sister, what manner of people ought we to be? What kind of attitude ought we to have for our fellow man? Amen. But we see so much around the message. People have been hurt. They feel the pain of rejection and they become jaded to this world. Amen. I've even heard people in the message say, you know, well, I just can't wait for it all to burn. All this wickedness, these people, I want to go home. I want it all to burn because of the pain of rejection. Amen. But that's not the spirit of Christ. Brother Branham said Christ and Abraham stood in the middle of a Sodom condition. And his cry to the Lord was, Lord, if there be one, Lord, one seed, one soul, one person that's hungry for God. Amen. Let me be the avenue. Amen. Let me be the channel that they could experience God. Amen. Brother, sister, this might be radical, but if somebody is bound and destined to hell, let them go to hell having experienced the love of God one time in their life. It will only happen through the vessel of sons and daughters of God. That's the only hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We ought to be manifesting, amen, that the deeper we get into the message, the more love, the more mercy we ought to have. Some people have built their whole ministry around tearing down. And listen, I believe I'm preaching against sin. I believe in a clothesline religion. But when it's all tearing down and destruction and discouragement, no, the end time evangelism is to build up a bride. Amen. To build her and encourage her and empower her and extend grace unto her. I don't believe there's a people on the face of the earth with more love and grace to give than the bride of Jesus Christ. Amen. Because Brother Branham said her ministry is the same as his ministry. And his ministry was a ministry of redemption. Amen. We love sometimes, we get a little bit too attached to a judgment ministry and we want to call down judgment on the world. We want to, you know what it is? It's pride. We want to feel better than somebody else. We want to feel like we know more. And we're a higher class of people. But we were nothing when he found us. We were nothing when he called us out and lifted us up out of where we were. Amen. The same power that called you out of denomination or out of this world, amen, can call out of you to a lost soul or a wayward loved one or somebody that's in need. Amen. They went to Jesus. They said, well, somebody had rejected his message. They said, aren't you going to call fire out of heaven like Elijah did? He said, no, my ministry is a little bit different than Elijah. He said, but I came not to destroy the world, but to save it. Amen. And there is a bride, amen, in Goshen today, amen, that is holding back the full judgment. Amen. Until she's taken off the scene. I believe it's for a purpose. I happen to believe in purpose. I don't believe we're sitting on our hands waiting for a rapture. I believe there ought to be a voice in the bride of Jesus Christ calling out to this world to a whosoever will. Amen. Until the last seed comes in. Amen. Until the world is evangelized by the light of this message. And with the right spirit, a spirit of love and a spirit of grace as the capstone came crying, grace, grace. Grace. Amen. You know that you have the very power of redemption in you to save your fellow man. If you've got the life of Christ within you. Amen. Jesus told the disciples that Jesus committed to the disciples the power to remit sin. Amen. Well, if we are apostolic, then we have that power. Now, Brother Branham said it's not some Catholic foolishness of, you know, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. But he said what it was what Peter had on the day of Pentecost. Amen. When men came that were hungry, men came that were thirsting, they said, what must we do to be saved? And Peter had something on the inside. He didn't say, come to my church and take up my program and read this book. But he said, this is what you need. This is that. This is what was promised. This is what you're looking for. This is what you need. Amen. You'll never get this from a church experience. You'll never get this as a group. But you'll only get this is that. Amen. From an individual experience with God on the backside of the wilderness. Amen. Oh, a pillar of fire experience that tells you who you are and where you have come from. And you know it because you have experienced it. Amen. Hallelujah. More than emotion, more than an outward action, but a reality of a real experience with God, a real, where you meet God, where you know God, where He comes and dwells in you. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Is this all right this morning? Amen. You liking this okay? This is everything the message came to give us The power of redemption, the power of love. Amen. And we can't afford to lose it over hurt feelings. We can't afford to give this up, this message, what it has brought to us, what is unveiled to us, and you're going to give it up because somebody said something mean to you, or because you had a little falling out or some hurt in your past, and that's worth giving up this ministry, this calling, this purpose. Amen. God forbid. Amen. But what it's going to take, amen, to fulfill this is divine love. I'm telling you, brotherly kindness will make a real nice church, but it's divine love that'll put a bride in her ministry, and divine love will take a bride in a rapture. Amen. We got to have something more than this humanity, something more than what we can do as human beings, but it's the power of God working through us is what we're looking for. Amen. Brother Bram said we try to use love like we do human love. But it's two different loves altogether. Amen. Even in the Greek words are different. One's phileo love. You know these things. That's the love you have for your wife. And that kind of love, Brother Bram said, would make you kill a man over jealousy. Somebody come and say something a little off color to your life, you're ready to kill that guy. Amen. But you know, there's a difference, he said, with agape love, godly love. Instead of killing the man, it would make you pray for his sinful soul. Oh my. That's how much different it is. And that's where the failing is, brother, sister. Because we're in the group, when we're in the association, we're doing it all on our human relationships. How many of you have ever tried to help somebody out of human love, out of a genuine love for somebody? You tried to help and it made everything worse. You just made a big mess out of the whole thing because it was human love. And human love has problems. Human love has fear. Human love has complexes. And you just end up hurting somebody trying to love them. Amen. Sometimes, you know, young people, you know what it is. And somebody comes and they try to bring a word of correction. And they come and just their delivery it doesn't hit right. And you know, and it hurts your feelings. And it just, they just kind of mess that. At least they love you. At least they love you enough to say it. But it's human love is the problem. Amen. But it's because human love, human feelings are selfish. Human love is self-centered. Amen. And I recognize the irony of what I'm preaching. I'm preaching on start with me, but I'm also preaching against being self-centered. It's taking yourself off the pedestal and humbling yourself before God. Amen. Human love has fear. That's what caused us to hurt the ones we love. Because human love has fear. That's how two people can have a disagreement in a church. You can have a problem in a church. And this one loves that one. And that one loves that one back. Love on both sides. And when there's still a problem. What's the problem? Humanity. Human love. Human issues. And how could it be, brother, sister, you still have a disunity? But Brother Bram said, if I can't disagree with a man bitterly. Bitterly. And still think as much of him as Christ would. Then there's something wrong with my spirit. I haven't got the spirit of Christ. If you've got the spirit of Christ, you can disagree with somebody bitterly. Amen. But still think as much of them as Christ does. Amen. And that's something I think we're lacking, brother, sister, many times. Something I'm desiring for myself. Something I want to see manifest in the church more than anything else. Is that kind of a love where there's no foothold for the devil. Where there's no humanity in it. There's no hurt in it. Only God can do that. Amen. You and I can't do that. Brother Branham couldn't even manifest that. Amen. Brother Branham was a man like many of us. And when a bull came rushing at him, what did he do? That human element went for his gun. And that's what happens to you. Somebody says something a little off color to you. What do? You go to that human reaction. But if you stop for a moment, wait on God for a moment, be patient with God for a moment, all of a sudden Brother Bram said something came in. He said, I wish I could have it all the time. I wish I knew how to explain it. He said, something from somewhere else, some other realm, some other life projected into his heart. Amen. And divine love changed the circumstances. That's what we have need of, brother, sister. Amen. Is to get so shut in with God as an individual until we begin to see these things manifested in our life. And there's something beyond the human element, beyond the association, beyond human relationships. A power of a love that's able to change the situation. Amen. Work it all out. Amen. Bring it all together. Hallelujah. Oh, we need it, friends. We ought to be conscious of how we need it. This world is so cold and disconnected. Amen. It seems like in this social media age, we're more connected than we ever were before. But personally and in our hearts, we're so disconnected. We're so isolated. We're struggling with young people. I deal with young people that are struggling with such insecurity, such anxiety, like we've never seen before. Feeling so introverted and so backward. And so it's a world where Satan is just attacking those relationships, our love for one another, and doing everything he can to shut it up. He doesn't want a bride to come into unity. He doesn't want those bonds of love to be established. Amen. Because if you ever get once you establish that and you keep that, the devil has no foothold. Amen. If we had people that weren't so proud and so full of themselves, and if we didn't have so many great big somebodies, we wouldn't have church splits. We wouldn't have drama. We wouldn't have problems. We wouldn't have warring back and forth. Brother Branham said, I'm off my notes a little bit. Brother Branham said, don't ever try to be a somebody. He said, God can't use a somebody. He said he could only use a somebody if they're willing to forget they're a somebody and become a nobody. But he said, God always takes the nobodies and makes them his somebodies. Amen. He preached a message, perfect strength and perfect weakness. And he told the church, he instructed us. And this is something we forget every day. He said, what you want to do if you want to fulfill God's purpose? He said, you've got to forget. You've got to get rid of any thought of human ability. Any thought that you've got the power, you've got the wisdom, you've got the ability within yourself. No, you got to know where you stand with God as an individual. Amen. You don't got the wisdom, the power in you to help anybody else to fix any situation. The only approach is start with me. Start right here, Lord. Change my heart, change my situation, open my eyes, take care of my problems so I can see clearly then to love somebody else, help somebody else, fix the other situation. But it's under attack. It's under attack. That love is under attack today. But you know, Brother Branham said, and this struck me the other day. He said, if God is in your heart, you can't hardly wait for the church doors to open. Now, I've heard that quote in my whole life. You're familiar with that quote. And for some reason, I always thought, and I think I'd heard it presented many times, that means you just can't wait to get in there and hear the preaching of the word. Hear that word, hear that preaching. And that's the way I always looked at it. That's not what he said. Brother Bram said, if God's in your heart, you can't hardly wait for those doors to open to get in here and fellowship with your brothers. And if you don't feel that way, he said, it's time you got to praying. Amen. And you know, the more I'm traveling around and preaching different places, and I appreciate the love that you have for one another here in this assembly. Because seems like so many times, you know, they can't hardly wait for the dismissing prayer and the pastor says amen and they just flee. They just can't wait to get out of there and go their own separate ways. But you know, to me, there's a real reality of Christian love and brotherhood, amen, that the devil has tried to take from us, where we ought to have a love for one another, amen. We ought to have compassion and feeling and relationships. There ought to be bonds with one another. If we don't have it, we ought to pray, amen. If we don't see it in our family, in our church, we ought to pray. We ought to seek God for it. Amen, because it's a beautiful thing, amen, to have that brotherhood. I love that old song, blessed be the tie that binds. When we asunder part, it causes inward pain. Brother Branham said we ought to be such a place where just to part ways, it ought to be tears running down our eyes. Amen, weeping to part ways with one another, but we remain joined in heart until we meet again. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about relationship. Amen. I say, God, start with me. Start with my heart. Take the coldness out. Take the isolation out, take the bitterness out, and Lord, let me love my brother, love my sister, and let me be the one of the whole church that's the most friendly and the most outgoing and building those bridges, building those bonds. I want to see that in the church. Brother Brown said it's time you got to pray. And if the brother you think he's a little wrong, or the sister, amen, you ought to say, Lord, don't ever let me have that root of bitterness spring up. Amen, because it'll affect him. And it'll take the Christ right out of my life. Amen. If you want to hold on to that bitterness towards somebody else, you're only hurting yourself. It's poison. Brother Branham said that poison acid of malice and jealousy and hatred will take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It will run in from the tabernacle here. It'll kill the Spirit of God or drive it away. It'll hurt your pastor. It'll do everything. See, don't you do that. Love one another anyhow. Anyhow, that's the hard part. Love one another anyhow. And talk nice about one another. Well, glory. Talk nice about one another, and then God will bless. We're going back to Sunday school this morning. Talk nice about one another, and then God will bless you. How many want a blessing this morning? I got an easy one for you. Talk nice about one another, and prophet of God said, then God will bless you. Amen. But see that human love will never build a perfect church because it's got fear, it's got jealousy, it's got envy, it's got complexes, full of humanity. We're looking for the love of God. We're looking for something greater. It will require a death to yourself. It will require humility before God to say, God, start right here. Strip out all the humanity. Strip out every thought of human ability. Strip out everything that makes me think that I'm a somebody. Amen. And let me manifest the life of Christ. Amen. But and that's the way that perfect love casts out fear is because most of our fears come from self-importance. Most of our fears come from self-importance because now just because you think you got humility. Amen. There's a false humility where you're so full of yourself. Where you can't get anywhere with God because you're so full of your own weakness and you're so centered on yourself and your problems and yourself and your weakness and yourself. I'm talking about all self-centeredness. Whether you got a superiority complex, an inferiority complex, a people complex, whatever you got. Amen. Amen. Get away from yourself and get before God. Amen. Get away from what other people think about you, what your image is in the church, what your status, what your position. Amen. That you can't reach God that way. Because then you're still in the group. You're still in the group. When it's what you're projecting to the world, what people are looking at, the way you're presenting yourself, it's all in association. It's all in human relationships. Amen. But you've got to say, start with me. Me as an individual, God. Deal with me. So wherever there's that self-importance, there's a fear of humiliation, right? We don't want to be humiliated. We don't want to look weak. We don't want to look like we got problems. So we can't humble ourselves to the Word of God. We don't want to, you know, somebody, the minister comes through and asking for a raised hand or asking for a response to the Word of God. You don't want anybody looking at you and thinking there's something going on in your life. That fear of humiliation, that fear of being something that's small and weak before God. Amen. Perfect love will cast that out. God's love will cast it out. Amen. Cast out all self-importance. Amen. Self-centeredness, self-satisfaction. And you can humble yourself to the Word of God. That fear of scrutiny is what causes a Christian to lash out. When people are lashing out, it's because of a fear. It's because of a pride. We don't want to be scrutinized. We want to look like a great big somebody. We want to look like a competent person. A person with status. A person, amen, that people can look to. And that's why one of Satan's greatest weapons is a what about spirit. A what about spirit. You ever heard of a what about spirit? A what about spirit is when the Lord comes, He's trying to deal with your heart. He's trying to deal with you personally. And what's the first thing you do? What about her? What about him? What about them? What about that church? What about what they're preaching? What about what's going on down there? What about the Republicans? What about the Democrats? What about this? What about that? But what about you, brother, sister? And what about me? There ought to be humility in a Christian heart to say, God, if you don't speak to another person in this church this morning, deal with me, Lord, and change me and mold me more into your likeness. Amen. That what about spirit? What about my spouse? What about what he did? And what about what she said? And what about what happened to me back when I was a kid? And what about what my old pastor preached? And I was under that abuse or that false teaching? Or what about all this? But what about me? Oh God, start with me. Amen. Help me, Lord. It's me. It's not my brother, not my sister, not another church somewhere, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Standing in need of you this morning. Brother Bram said if we would quit talking about our neighbors and quit talking about the hypocrites in the church. Come on, somebody. Amen. Quit talking about the hypocrites and talking about the faults of the preacher, talking about the faults of somebody else, and just talk about Jesus. Then he said we would have more appearings of Jesus if we would talk about Jesus and stop talking about everything else. And here's what I love about this quote. Brother Bram said, and notice when he appears, he doesn't take sides with you. Help me, Lord. When He appears, He don't come to take your side. But Brother Branham said He always goes to the Word. And any real Christian is not looking for the Holy Spirit, not looking for some preacher to come and tickle their pet doctrine and take their side, but looking for the Word of God to be revealed in its truth. If it cuts me, let it cut me. If it shakes me, let it shake me. Amen. If it wants to correct me, let it correct me. Amen. Because that's the sign of a legitimate son. That's somebody that can bear correction. Somebody that God can chastise and correct and help. Amen. He doesn't begin to take sides with you. I love that quote. And a what about spirit will do anything. The devil will do anything. He'll give you any distraction you're looking for to keep you distracted from your own problem, from your own need. But brother, sister, don't wait for somebody to fix. There's too many people wishing, sitting around wishing that somebody would fix all the problems in the church. Well, you know, I wish God would move more in our church. I wish we could have revival. I wish we could get this situation straightened out. You're the only revival your church has coming. Amen. You ought not to have the attitude of waiting around for everything else to change. The world is not going to change. The churches, the denominations are not going to change. Culture is not going to change. The only thing prophesied to take a change in the end time is a bride. Amen. And if there's enough quickening power in this message to change the molecules of your body, then it can certainly change your attitude. It can certainly change your mind. It can certainly fix your problems if you'll let it focus on you and not deflect it, not shield yourself from it. We ought to embrace it, because eventually you'll be humbled. You'll either humble yourself or God will have to humble you, and it'll be grace if He does it. Amen. Oh, hey, but it seems like we have so many people that just maybe they're just dumb. You know, because you go around and you got drama with everybody else in the world, and everywhere you go, it's drama. Everywhere. And you ever stop to think what the common denominator is? Now, this is probably not appropriate over a pulpit, but there's an old saying that if everywhere you go stinks, check your own shoe. That's pretty good. Check your own shoe. Check your own life. Amen. Check your own heart. Amen. And realize the common denominator. Realize the human element in yourself with all of these problems, all these issues. Because eventually you'll run out of churches to go to. Eventually you'll run around run out of people to hang around. And you'll burn all your bridges, and eventually you'll have to be humbled. It's easier, brother, sister, to humble yourself. It hurts, but it's better. It's easier. It's better in the long run. Is that right? Amen. But you know, the devil will always give you somebody to point at. And I'm guilty as a minister. You know, by the grace of God, I've traveled a lot this year, and a lot of doors opening up. You go different places, you hear about different things going on. For some reason, when you're a preacher, people think that's a green light for gossip. So they share all the problems, all the issues, and there's so much to look at, so many concerns around the message. This brother's preaching that. This one's saying that. This one's a critic, and this one's doing this. Amen. And we get focused on it. We get focused on it. We get discouraged. We get depressed. Don't look to those things. Look to Jesus. Look to the Lord. Look to this message. Friends, amen. There's enough glory in this message that you never need to look away. There's no need to ever look away. There's no need to ever become distracted. We don't need to look to the right, look to the left, but remember the words of a prophet. Remember, amen, hold fast to what He's given us. Because, but we do it to make ourselves feel secure. If we got some other problem to look at, makes us feel secure, but who are you anyway? Who am I anyway? Amen. But so much dust of this word. Brother Branham said, now remember, it's only the sick that demand attention. It's only the sick that demand attention. Every church member that wants attention, I'm somebody, look at me. He said, just remember, that's a spiritual sick person. That's somebody who's sick. That's somebody who needs help. Amen. A spiritual sick person, he said what they need is the attention of the Spirit of God that'll take that attitude out of them. And heal them from their selfishness and big ideas and big me and little you. You ever run into somebody like that? He said the Holy Ghost makes us all the same. That it makes us all the same. A sure mark of somebody that's got the Holy Ghost, amen, when you're talking to them, you're the biggest guy in the room. That's how Brother Branham was. That's how Jesus was. That's the example that's been set. That's the Spirit of Christ. Amen. It's not a big me, little you. That not I need attention. Not I need people looking at me. I don't need to be a big shot, big somebody. Amen. But that's somebody that's sick. Amen. But the Holy Ghost makes us all the same. He said, we got too much spiritual anemia. It's somebody that hasn't got any blood. Amen. I say, Lord, start right here. Let the blood of Jesus Christ wash away all my pride, all of my big ideas, all my big me, little you. I tell you, as a young minister, one of the things I'm most afraid of in my ministry is to ever be think I'm a big shot. I think I've got some big ideas and some big opinions that need to be presented. No, sir, I want to be small. I want to be a vessel for this message. I want to be a vessel for the Word. If I ever preach something that doesn't line up with it, it was a mistake. Amen. But you see, because we're not to be a great big somebody, we're supposed to be sheep. Brother Branham said a sheep can't lead itself. It's got to have a shepherd, got to have a leadership. The Holy Ghost ought to have full control in our life. That's when we would see things happen. When we have a stripping of ourselves. Brother Branham said, well, that's what we need is a stripping of ourself, a stripping away of our pride, stripping away of our of all of our humanity. Amen. And just empty ourselves out before God. I wonder when's the last time you did that. Amen. It ought to be a daily thing, but we go years, decades in pride. And we hold on to things. We're not willing to give them up. We hold on to them. We don't want God. There's certain places. We're okay if God moves in a certain area of our life. We're okay. Yeah, Lord, come speak to me on this. Speak to me on that. Lord, speak to me who my spouse is going to be, what career you want for me. Speak to me what your will is. Should I sell my house? Should I take this job position? We want all those things, but it's the little things held back. That's where we need him to start this morning. That little closet, that little shut up place where the door's shut and you don't want anybody snooping around in there. You don't want God to deal with those things. They're held back. Amen. They're held back from God. A little while ago, I was out preaching in Pennsylvania, got a call from my wife, and turned out some nasty little raccoon decided to crawl up in my attic and die of all the nerve. And so this little critter gets up in there in my attic and passes away, bless his heart. And so I get a call, and my wife says, oh, the raccoon died up there, the house smells. I get home, and guess what? The kitchen stunk. The living room stinks, the bedroom stinks, the bathroom stinks, the closet stinks, the whole house stinks. But all I had to do was get up in the attic and take it out. One little raccoon was enough to stink up the whole house. That's why people are so discouraged. And we got people that are under such condemnation because their whole life they feel like it's falling apart. But it's one little thing held back from God. Amen. It was one little thing that you're holding back, and your prayer life stinks, your church attendance stinks, your attitude stinks. Amen. Everything about your life stinks, and all you'd have to do was surrender that one little thing and pay the price of laying down your pride, and then you'd have the fragrance of the Holy Spirit back in your whole life from one little thing held back. Amen. It's not a total mess. It's that one little thing. The little foxes that spoil the vine. But what it's going to take is desperation. What it's going to take is humility. Amen. There was a woman that needed something from Jesus. He called her a dog. He said it's not fit for the dogs to eat from the master's table. Amen. And any little pride in her would have robbed her of her blessing. But it was enough desperation. It was enough humility to say, truth, Lord. I'm a dog, but even the dogs get the crumbs. Humility with God. Desperation with God. That's how you get somewhere with God. Not with putting on a front, putting on a facade, and being a great big somebody. You know what inspired this sermon? Is a story Brother Branham tells, and the part that stuck out to me is not the part that we usually focus on. But Brother Branham's in his healing campaigns, and he goes into a psych ward. He goes into his hospital, I believe, and he's looking around, and there's all these terrible situations. Terrible cases. There's people just, foaming at the mouth, and in convulsions, And people that are just bound and suffering. It's great human suffering. And he's looking around and there's so much of it. And he looks there and there's a young lady sitting there. He said she was a nice looking young lady. Lovely young lady. Well dressed. Put together. Looked just real calm and serene. And she says, can I help you, sir? He said, well, there's just so much. There's so many problems. There's so much. There's so many hard cases. I really don't know where to start. And you know what she said? She said, Brother Branham, I wish you'd start with me. I wish you'd start with me. And he begins to talk to her. Turns out she had some issues in her life. She had some things back in her past. Never got taken care of. So she's in a bad situation, in a bad problem. But what struck me about her, brother, sister, that young lady is just like you and I. Amen. Because we come, we show up on Sunday morning, we put on our three-piece suit and our best shoes. Amen. And we put on a good front and we do everything we can to make it look like we've got everything together, like we're all put together, like we don't have any problems, like we don't have any needs, like we're stable, like everything's okay. And if that young lady had stayed in that position, if she had not had the desperation to say, start with me, she never would have got deliverance. She never would have got deliverance. So you know what she did? Brother Branham knelt down and prayed with her. They talked about her past a little bit. And so they prayed a little bit. You know, they prayed and she got up, maybe a little tear in her eye. And just like we do in church, amen, the sermon will come. It'll correct you. It'll encourage you. It'll give you the answer to your problem. It'll speak to you personally. And what we'll do, we'll kind of raise our hand a little bit. We'll kind of nod. We'll smile. You know, we'll say, yeah, pray for me, you know. And that's what the young lady did. But see, she gets back up. She says, Brother Branham, I think everything's going to be okay now. You know, I made a little show. I just real secretly, so nobody would notice, I acknowledged I got a problem. Anybody looking? No, okay, I got a little problem. He said, sister, nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. Amen. A little while longer on her knees, she gets into that desperation. Tears running down her face. A real experience of God. He says, now, sister, go. Don't ever do it again. He said, it's all over now. A total deliverance. Amen. It came at the cost of pride. Came at the cost of looking put together. Of looking like everything's okay. It came at the cost of the humility to say, start right here. Start with me. Amen. It's so easy to see the problems of others, but this is an individual walk. You'll never get anything from God rubbing shoulders with everybody else. You've got to get alone with God. You've got to get to a place with God. It's the way, wherever you're at with God now, the way you'll get to the next level is less of yourself, more of God. Less of the group, less of the association, less of pride, less of status, more of Him. More of His attention, more of His Word, more of Him speaking to me, correcting me. Oh, start with me. This morning. Amen. You know, you might be sitting there thinking, I'm so glad Brother Nathan is preaching this. That's perfect for that brother. Perfect for that guy. You missed the whole thing. You missed the whole thing, brother. I'm preaching it for me. Amen. You ought to be hearing it for you. Your need. Your problem. I'm going to close on this quote. I love this quote. I think it's worthy to be read in a church once a month. Brother Branham said in the Great Commission, he said, if you want to be a blessing and get a blessing. When a man has done you wrong, he absolutely, justly, I mean he has done you wrong, and you know that he's done you wrong, he's done you evil. He said, post it on the church WhatsApp group. Run to the deacon. Call the pastor. He said, when a man's done you wrong, don't mention that. You take him to prayer before God. And don't take it in a selfish way. Say, well, I'm supposed to do this. Bless God, I'm going to have compassion for my brother. Doesn't he know who I am? He shouldn't have said that to me. I'm going to say a little prayer for him. And say, well, I'm supposed to do this. But he said, you stand with your shoulder to his shoulder and stand in the presence of God our Father, the way our prayer should be made. And say, Father, here's my brother, and he justly deserves punishment because he's done me evil. And I don't see why he did it. Then let God go talking to you, and you'll see maybe what that man's been through. You see the key here? How many times in the prayer line did Brother Branham go back into the early stages of somebody's life? Go back, way back to childhood, to an incident, to a problem, to an issue. And look at that thing and use that as a way to enter into compassion. How many times did Brother Branham stop for a little while with the blind man in Mexico, stop for a little while and just look at that need and take it in and say, whoa, my, I wonder if he needs a coat, he needs a new shoe, he doesn't have this, he doesn't have that, and begin to enter into that compassion. Take a little time, brother, to enter into compassion for your sister. Take a little time to try to understand why they said what they said. Try to understand why they are the way that they are. Then that compassion can come through that. Amen. But, and he said, And he said, let God go talk into you. You'll see what that man's been through and how the devil has twisted him up somewhere and caused him to do that. And though he's absolutely wrong, before you leave the throne of God, you'll be feeling sorry for that brother. That's how you know you got prayed through on the situation. That's how you know you really got a resolution. That's how you know, amen, that divine love's stepped in. It's projected. Amen. When you're feeling sorry for that man and you're sympathizing with that brother, and when you get back down to earth again, you'll go over to that brother and shake his hand because you know what he's been through. And you can't stand with a mortal in the presence of God and condemn anybody, even if he's a rank sinner. And what about a brother that's made a mistake? Though I say he's wrong, sometimes he's accused wrong when he's not wrong. But if he is wrong, we're talking about he is wrong. You got him dead to rights. You know that he's wrong. You know what he said was wrong. You know it was in the wrong spirit. You know he's judging you. Amen. But you're standing there shoulder to shoulder, knowing he's a mortal, and maybe his destination rests upon our attitude towards him. And when we come back from the throne of God, we'll realize that we're everyone guilty. And we all need help one from the other. And the best way to do it, Brother Branham said, is to pray. Let's all stand. Let's pray. Amen. I can't preach this message, saints, without it speaking to me, tearing me apart. My problem, my issue, my attitude. I wonder if you could say the same this morning. Brother Nathan, I've been so distracted by everybody else's problems. And I've been carrying this thing around. It's been bothering me. And I've carried it all this time for no reason. Because I let the devil point my eyes somewhere else to make myself feel secure, to make myself feel like I'm important, like I've got it all together. But Brother Nathan, I don't have it together this morning. I've got a need. I've got a problem. I've got a question. I've got a desire. You want to lift up your hands and say, Lord, start with me. I got both my hands up. Lord, start right here. Come right here and speak to me, Lord. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Father, as we all lift up our voices to you as individuals, Lord, I pray this morning that we would break past the barriers of church associations, of religious works, of tradition, of ritual, Lord. And may we meet you this morning. I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit would come and speak to everyone personally, Lord. Oh, God, and deal with us, Lord. These things that we've been holding back from you, may today be the hour of deliverance, Lord. May this moment be the time where you would come and just deal sweetly with us. Speak to us, Father. In a few moments, Lord, we're going to sing, we're going to worship you, we're going to meditate upon the Word of God. I pray that through that communication, through that fellowship with you, Lord, that problems would be fixed, that bitterness would be ripped out, Father, that pride would be stripped away. I pray, Lord, that issues in the church, just like there are in every church, Lord, would be alleviated. I pray that you would fill us with that mercy that is an attribute of sonship. I pray that we would have that grace and that love that's to come in this adoption time, Lord. Lord, and make us like you. Make us, give us attitudes like you, ministries like you. Oh God, use us, Father. May we not be so full of ourselves that you can't use us to reach out to someone that's thirsty, Lord. But may you put that bride ministry in me, Lord, and in every one of us as an individual, that everywhere that we go, we would project an atmosphere and we would project a life, Lord, that would speak to this world, that would cause men and women to become thirsty for God. Oh, that we would be real Christians. Just humble and sweet and loving and simple, Lord, and not some great somebody, Lord, but little nobodies that you can use, little nobodies that you can make somebody out of, little small people, Father, that you can uplift and use for your glory. Grant it for everyone this morning, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, Search Me, O God. Oh, search me. Oh God, and know my heart today. Try me, oh. sincerity this morning. Sing that third verse there. Lord, take my life. Oh, sing it, Lord. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Oh, fill comes from thee. Oh. Maybe as a gesture of humility this morning, you'd like to come for prayer. We'd be happy to pray with you. All comes from thee. Hallelujah. Thou wilt supply my need for blessing now, O Lord, I
Master today. Worship him now. Just let him search your heart.
Worship has an enemy. The enemy of true worship is self-consciousness. Whenever we're self-conscious, we really don't let go and worship God perhaps in a way that we, sometimes really feel on the inside. And you had to imagine what it would be like, when we get across on the other side and there'd be no self-consciousness, there'd be no pride, there'd be nothing that kind of gets in the way or roadblocks it. Let's just, for a moment this morning, let's just imagine a place and a time where we could just worship God without any pride at all, without anything holding us back or what will people think. Because this isn't about the other guy. This is about us, right? This is about me. Sometimes, when the preaching of the word, the word goes forth, sometimes, like the Bible says, John the Baptist, when he came, he said the axe is here to cut down the tree. Paul talks about himself as a wise master builder. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will come out and you hear the snap of the surgeon's glove. Today I'm going to dig deep. Today I'm going to get on the inside. We're not just tearing down something. We're not just, building a church here. We're not laying a foundation. But sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to do something very personal in your heart. That's what I heard today. I heard the snap of the surgeon's glove, the divine physician, and how he knows just how to touch the right place, the right part. We're really good at justifying things that we feel, things the way we have things reasoned out, But the Holy Spirit, one thing about him, he always knows better. He just always knows better. He knows better than our reasonings and our justifications and everything. And so there are times when we just need to say, Lord, I need you. If I could fix all these problems or things I struggle with, I would. But there are times we know we can't. And to me, it's a form of worship when we humble ourselves before God. Try it today. Just don't worry about who's next to you, who's around you. Just worship God without abandon today. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. Right.
Yes, I need you, Lord, right now.
We need you, Lord. Time, I need you, Lord. Make it your prayer this morning. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. This morning that needs prayer, I'm sure Brother Nathan would take time to pray with you this morning. As I said last night, it's a strange principle. It's a strange thing. It's contrary to human nature. But sometimes the very best thing we can do for ourselves is to give something that's very dear to us, to give it away. To give it away. God's given us a gift. Best thing to do is give that back to Him. God's given us life. Give it back to Him. God's given us His life, His Spirit. We give it back to Him and say, Lord, now use that little part of yourself in me. And somehow or another, God's pleased with that when we take what we have and give to Him. Sing it with me this morning. If you need prayer,
I give myself away. Give myself away. So you. Give myself away. Give myself away. So you use me. Here I am. Here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Give myself thank you. give myself away. So you can use me, give myself away. Give myself my life as a living sacrifice. Place them into your hands, so I give myself. I give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. Heavenly Father, hearts bowed today, Lord, and realizing that you're just a God who knows and you always know best, Lord. You always know just how to come at the right time and speak to us. We don't want to put up some sort of a pretense and just hide behind the form, hide behind the place, hide behind the minister. We don't want to hide behind Malachi 4. We just want to, Lord, be open and honest with you and with ourselves, Lord. We enthrone you. We just give you the place, Lord, where you can sit and you can reign in our lives afresh. The prophet, Lord, he talked many times about how that, Lord, there's many infillings, there's many experiences, encounters we have with you. And Lord, I pray today that you would just, over this weekend, Lord, it's been special. We just pray that you would just continue, Lord, to deal with hearts. Give ourselves away, Lord, to you. We just say, Lord, all of our plans and our ambitions and everything else. Or just even just trying to be something that we're not. We just want to lay it before you, Lord. We're absolutely amazed that you love us and you care so deeply about us that you strive to change us and mold us for the kingdom to come. And Lord, I just pray that we would just allow you to do that. Allow you, Lord, to have your way in our hearts. For life is fleeting. But we know who holds tomorrow, and so we trust you, Lord. We just want to trust you more. Bless these folks, Lord, that have come today, and the families, our young people, Lord, that Father, you might just do a rich, great work, a lasting work in their hearts. But Lord, we don't want to just cast the seed out from us. We want to also, Lord, just lay before you ourselves and just be real honest. And say, Lord, that we're just amazed that you love us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercies, which are new every day. Bless the people, Lord, now I pray. Heal those that need your healing touch. Encourage the discouraged, Lord. And may you just instill in us a greater passion for the things of God and to be pure and right with you. And wherever we lack, I ask, Lord, that you would reveal that to us through the channel you've ordained. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give you all the praise and the honor in Jesus' lovely name we pray. Amen. I'm amazed how you love me. I'm amazed how you give your precious love. I found and my sin.
are washed away.